Okay. Yes. Which is your word?
Core.
Okay. Right. Tell me.
So I'll start with the first segment, the first sound.
Good.
Which is voiceless roulette plosive. Mm-hmm. Plosives are sounds which are produced with a complete obstruction in the oral cavity. Mm-hmm. They are oral sounds, which means that the velum is lowered, so the nasal resonator is shut off.
Can you say that again?
The velum is lowered. The nasal resonator, the
is
nasal
open.
Cavity.
If the velum is
lowered. Sorry, raised. Okay. My bad, I'm nervous.
So
the velum is raised in its raised position, so the nasal resonator is shut off. And this specific sound is produced with the active articulator, which is the tongue, mm-hmm. articulating with the... Shall I speak a little bit?
No, it's all right.
All right.
You continue.
Which articulates with the soft palate, forming the total obstruction in the oral cavity, and the air is pent up behind this closure, which means it builds up. And when the articulators come apart, this air is released plosively, with plosion. That's why the name is plosive, and that's also why they are called stops, because there's a complete the air is completely stopped by an obstruction in the mouth. This is a velar plosive, but there are also bilabial plosives, there are also velar plosives, and that's it. They all have the voiced and voiceless counterparts. For example, for this sound, it would be voiced velar plosive, which would be the one in go, the first sound. And then, I draw the stages of all plosives, which we have the approach stage, which is when the organs or the articulators come together to form the obstruction. Then we have the characteristic period of stop or silence of a plosive, and then when the articulators come apart. For these ones, the vocal folds are not vibrating, they're completely wide apart, as in for normal breathing. This specific word, in this specific context, this sound, the voiceless velar plosive, is aspirated, which means that when the plosive is released, there is an extra puff of air, because it is in stressed initial syllable. It's initial in a stressed syllable. And the diacritic is a little glottal fricative, which is the sounds are similar, the aspirated sound and the glottal fricative are similar, so that's why it's like a little glottal fricative. When we aspirate a plosive, we produce like core plosive, well, not plosive, but and then we have the vowel. This is also labialized, which means it's produced with rounded lips, which is core, because of the influence of the following back vowel. And I think that's all I have to say about plosives. We can change it. I mean, like, we can add words at the beginning of, for example, good core, mm-hmm. and the last sound of good, the voiced alveolar plosive, would change, would assimilate for the following sound, which is the voiceless of velar plosive, into the voiced velar plosive. Assimilation always respects the voiced of the sounds. For if I assimilate the last sound of good, the voiced of velar plosive, the sound it turns into would be also, it is also voiced. It cannot be voiceless as it is the voiceless velar plosive. It just takes the place of articulation of the following sound, which is regressive assimilation, and it is phonemic, because we change the whole phoneme, the sound changes, mm-hmm. because we have phonemic or allophonic, progressive or regressive assimilation of place or voice. In this case, it would be phonemic regressive assimilation of place. The same as in kank core, it wouldn't be released, though, mm-hmm. the new sound that the voiceless velar plosive assimilates into, it's not released, because if you say I can't call, it would be natural. And we also have another process there, which is germination, which means when we have home organic plosives, word boundaries. For example, if I say weak core, we have home organic plosives. Plosives, home organic. So they are germinated. They release the release stage of the first one and the approach stage of the second one and not produced but matched together into one larger medial stage, which would be the hold stage. So it's more like a longer plosive. And then we have the nasal, I can't call. It would turn into the villa nasal, I can call. Well, it wouldn't be that obvious, but I'm trying
can
to.
Can you produce it?
I can't call. I do the can in the strong form because there's no way I can do
it. Well, of course. I mean, you're putting together, two words in there.
Yeah.
But the question is, can you produce the can call with...
Can call.
If you stop in between the words,
can call.
Do you think you can produce it?
Can you call?
Uh-huh. You were trying to produce the assimilated form by using, separate words.
Yeah.
Can you do that?
No, because they have to be together. It's in connected speech.
Put them together, please. So,
I can call.
Say it again, please.
I can call.
Uh-huh.
Can call.
Is that okay? Just so, try. Try until you feel you're producing a velar segment in there.
I can call tomorrow.
Uh-huh. Say it again.
I can call tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel my tongue on the alveolar ridge, so that's why I feel like it's velar, but I don't know if I'm actually producing it.
All right.
The main difference I feel is that my tongue is not in the place of articulation for the alveolar nasal.
Oh, right.
So I don't say I can call, but I say I can call.
I can call.
So I feel the tongue there. Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't hear it, as in I would be like, it would be in sing, that one. Mm-hmm. That strong, but it took me a while.
Good,
good. I already talked about germination. This is assimilation.
Let's move into the vowel segment. Yeah. Yes. So, what can you say about the vowel?
The vowel is back, open vowel, open mid vowel, more near to the open mid. I can say that because of this chart, this vowel diagram, which was. Created and devised by Daniel Jones in the 20th century. Mm-hmm. He created the diagram for cardinal vowels, which are, firstly there were 8, but now there are 16 cardinal vowels divided.
They were always 16.
So, really?
Yeah.
I have read somewhere that there were first 8.
He first established 8 primary, and then he himself produced the secondary cardinal vowels, it was he himself, right? No one else.
All right, sorry. So there are 16, and they are divided into 2 groups of 8, which are rounded vowels and unrounded vowels.
Mm-hmm.
They represent all the vowels in all languages, but they are used in theoretical terms to compare vowels in a specific language. For example, if I want to describe this one, I would say it would be similar to that cardinal vowel number, and I don't remember the numbers. Sorry.
Well,
1, 2, 3, 4. It's 7 up to here, isn't it?
No, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Just talking about the rounded ones. I'm thinking about the whole diagram with all the vowels.
It is the whole diagram.
Yes. All right.
What makes the difference between the primary and the secondary set?
That ones are rounded and ones are unrounded. I don't really know that difference.
Okay, then I'll tell you.
All right.
Okay.
So it's, taking into account the cardinal vowel diagram, we can say that this is a back open mid vowel. This diagram represents the oral cavity and how far does the tongue move, because vowels cannot be described in articulate terms and articulatory terms, because there's no much we can say about, there are no much organs, there is no obstruction in the mouth for vowels. So the main articulators for the vowels are the tongue, the lips and the soft palate being raised, but there are some cases where vowels can be nasalized. But vowels are more easily described in auditory terms. So we describe them in terms of which part of the tongue, so it will be front, the center of the back, is more tense and more raised to the front, to the roof of the mouth, so it will be close, with a closed mouth, more or less. It's not never closed, but it's near the roof of the mouth. Or it will be in the closed mid position, the open mid or the open one, with the lower jaw completely really lowered. So in this particular case, it would be with the back part of the tongue on the open mid position of the mouth, of the oral
mid cone. Open between mid open and
open. And open, yeah. this is the north vowel, and I have notes here. Sorry, can I?
Yeah.
Then I wrote the processes, which in this case, well, it doesn't have. Well, it only affects the voiceless velar plosive, because the contact for the plosive is retracted.
Mm-hmm.
It would be different if it were like a note. Key, mm-hmm. like the contact between the articulators of the plosive would be fronted. This is a similitude.
Good.
And then, well, if it were like caught,
mm-hmm.
The length of the vowel will be shortened, will be clipped,
mm-hmm.
because of the voiceless feature of the following sound. So it would be pre-fortis clipping.
Okay.
It happens only to long vowels, including diphthongs. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Well, nasalized, they can be nasalized when preceded, followed, or surrounded by nasals.
Mm-hmm.
And it also causes the lateral to be velarized, or to be a dark lateral, but that's mainly because the lateral is in final position in the word or before a consonant. So if a lateral is before a vowel, it is clear,
mm-hmm.
Lateral, and if it's at final position in a word, it's dark lateral. I think I have nothing much to say about the vowel. It can be, well, there is also some processes which are breaking, which is the gliding sound before a lateral. So it would be like feel, more like a schwa sound, mm-hmm. in the middle. The diacritic is a small schwa. There is also, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
What can you, if we move into the lateral segment, yes, what can you say about that particular?
This particular in this context.
That particular variant, yes, in that particular context.
It is a dark lateral,
mm-hmm.
because it is in final position of the word.
Mm-hmm.
It is labialized as, mm-hmm. well, because of the influence of the previous back vowel, which is produced with rounded lips.
Mm-hmm.
And it is devoiced, mm-hmm. because of it's followed by pause, so, mm-hmm. it's partially devoiced, it's not completely devoiced.
Mm-hmm.
It could also be devoiced in other cases, such as in maybe claim. That one would be partially.
I would
devoiced.
Agree with you on that.
Would,
I mean,
or wouldn't?
In claim, I mean, it is devoiced,
but not here.
But I wouldn't agree with you.
I have that doubt, because I'm not sure if this particular sound can be devoiced in final positions. I know there are some, but some not. So approximants are only devoiced when following an aspirated consonant.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. I know that.
You know,
I
vowels, have vowels in final positions, yes, are never devoiced.
No.
Yes, even though they might be followed by silence, yes, at least in English. Approximants.
Yeah. I compare it with
work. Yeah.
I compare it with nasals,
mm-hmm.
because I know nasals can only be devoiced when are preceded by the voiceless and velar fricative. So I thought, well, if nasals are the final position, well, I didn't know that, but I just take a leap of faith and failed.
No. When you were describing the first segment, you talked about phonemic assimilation.
Yeah.
And you mentioned as well allophonic assimilation.
Yeah.
You made a difference between the two.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at the process of aspiration,
mm-hmm.
from the point of view of assimilation, Can you describe it in, I mean, what kind of assimilation would that be?
Which one, sorry, again?
Aspiration.
Aspiration.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
tough one. It would be allophonic because we have the diacritic. We don't change the whole phoneme.
Okay. And how does this variant affect the surrounding? Aggressively or progressively?
All right, so if I have, what you mean is if I have an aspirated consonant.
Yes, it's here, yes.
Yeah.
Call, yes.
Only in call.
Call. Mm. What kind of allophonic assimilation is that?
It's progressive,
mm-hmm.
because it affects the onset of the voicing. It makes it to be later. That's the only reason that I can do.
Yes.
I've never reasoned
so
it that way.
It is.
So it's allophonic progressive assimilation of voice.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And if you have a look at the lip rounding, yes, what would you say, I mean, about lip rounding from the point of view of assimilation?
It's allophonic progressive uh-huh. assimilation of place as well. No, the first one was with voicing. This one
Good.
Is with place.
All right.
The place of articulation. Mm-hmm. It doesn't change, but this one shares features of the following place of, because when we talk about assimilation of place, we talk about a complete change in the place of articulation.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the alveolar becomes villa before mm-hmm. a villa.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, the villa stays villa, but the lips only share that feature of the following sound.
Okay.
It's not a complete change. That's what I mean. Well, maybe that's why, because it is allophonic.
Absolutely.
Because it's not phonemic. Yeah.
In terms of allophonic assimilation, we have progressive and regressive mm-hmm. place and voice. Now, if we come back to phonemic cases of assimilation,
yeah.
apart from regressive and progressive cases of assimilation, is there any other?
Coalescent uh-huh. assimilation.
And what is that?
It's when we have an alveolar sound mm-hmm. followed mm-hmm. by the yod, the approximant, the palatoalveolar approximant. They merge into one sound. And for example, if we have the voiceless alveolar plosive plus the yod,
mm-hmm.
we end up having the palatoalveolar affricate, the voiceless palatoalveolar affricate. So it would be, for example, what I have a glottal stop there. what you said to me,
mm-hmm.
it would be what she said to me.
Mm-hmm.
So they merge into one sound.
In your own phonological system,
yes.
do you make use of coalescent assimilation?
Sometimes, yeah, but I tend to do the glottal stop. So when I have this particular alveolar and find, for example, what you did, what you said, that's how I do it. But if I say, would you do that? There, I do. So yeah, I do coalescent assimilation, but not as much as I would do if I didn't do as much glottal stops as I could use.
Thank you.
That's
more than enough. Yes.
All right, thanks.
Please remind me of your name.
Sarah Sophia with Z.
Who was your teacher, Sophia?
Okay. She was my teacher.
Well done.
Thank you.
Wait a minute, because this is important.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do you mind if I keep this?
No, it's okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much.